I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. I know tonight's program, a lot of people are waiting for in anticipation because many people are aware of what we're going to be talking about tonight, and I guess timing is everything. Because while many of the mainstream news organizations have left behind the events of Sandy Hook because it's no longer expedient to push their agenda, I figured it would be the best time to now openly discuss a viewpoint about this event that has not been brought up in any conversation, and we're also reviewing the ideas of many of my guests tonight. I believe that saying it now would have more impact because we don't have to sit and drown in the controversy of gun control issues and conspiracy theories that that are formed simply to gain website hits or numbers or a Facebook page recognition or what have you. I want everyone to know that as a father without contact with my son and a man who gets to be around a six-year-old every day, I am not, and I repeat, I am not insensitive to the tragedy of not being able to see your child grow up. I also experienced a loss when a colleague of mine was killed in the Clackamas shootings that happened just before Sandy Hook. And I want to emphasize that while the media will have you believe that these are qualifications as speaking from experience, just because I had a friend die or a colleague die does not mean that I'm speaking as an experienced commentator. I can assure you that there is nothing as horrible as hearing about children dying needlessly, and when you suddenly realize the whole picture, it becomes even more of a tragedy, and it gives you a sick feeling that things like this can happen in the United States. In fact, when it all went down, I was in a hospital room caring after my fiancé. It was just before Christmas. It ruined the magic of Christmas. The entire country was saddened to hear about the senseless shootings at Sandy Hook. And I know full well that what I'm about to say and what I'm about to present tonight will, in some people, inspire anger and legitimate outrage. But it has to be said. No one knows what really happened that day. All we have is information that fits an agenda. All we have is the emotional hurt from what we've been told about the murdered children and the lone nut gunman. We have been given just enough information in order to determine that the victims were real at Sandy Hook. Yes, I emphasize, we have been given enough, just enough information in order to determine that the victims were real at Sandy Hook. That's about it. And even then, it's all emotional cudgels that they use and they force on us to even keep from asking if there's any truth that we can have or anything that would give us closure to this devastating event. People are still obsessed of knowing or in knowing the truth. If you want to know what happened at Sandy Hook on December 14, 2012, all you have to do is grab the crisis template and test it against it. The crisis template always seems to involve an inspection, a visit from a dignitary or drill prior to the event. Then the incident takes place in a place of open infrastructure to create a fishbowl terror scenario. This includes malls, theaters, schools. Then there's always an eyewitness account of maybe one or two suspects. Those suspects disappear, and then some name is given as a suspect. The name changes. Sometimes names are changed, forgotten about, thrown away. Suspects are eliminated, and then in one suspect that usually is either apprehended or commits suicide, we don't know the truth because dead men tell no tales, and that's what we say. And then sometimes if we blink, we find out that everything that we knew about the story in the first place has changed. Because everybody is running to get themselves a story. And the media today has become soft and partisan. It becomes malleable, and unfortunately, it's highly controlled. It only responds to disasters and then hires two political pundits to analyze what it means. The middle ground will always wind up being the spokesman from the military or the police department that reinforces a guarded story that immediately discredits what was already reported. Once again, I'm going to say this. No one, not even the media or any conspiracy theory sites that start up out of nowhere, have given us a full account of what happened to Sandy Hook. Because Lieutenant Paul Vance, when he spoke on behalf of the Connecticut Police Department, the Connecticut troopers that were assembled at the school, he admitted that most of the information surrounding the shooting of the 26 victims had been withheld, and if anybody questioned the official story, they'd be prosecuted.
One thing that's becoming somewhat of a concern, and that is misinformation that's being posted on social media sites. There has been misinformation coming from people posing as the shooter in this case, posing using other IDs, mimicking this crime and crime scene and criminal activity that took place in his community. There's been some things in somewhat of a threatening manner. It is important to know that we have discussed with federal authorities that these issues are crimes. They will be investigated statewide and federally, and prosecution will take place when people perpetrating this information are identified. Again, all information relative to this case is coming from these microphones, and any information coming from other sources cannot be confirmed, and in many cases, it's been found is inaccurate. So I simply, that's the newest twist today, that we want to make sure that's perfectly clear that social media websites that contain information relative to this case are not being posted by the Connecticut State Police, are not being posted by the Newtown Police, are not being posted by any authorities in this case. So any of that information and people that are putting that information up there in any manner, all right, that can be construed as a violation of state or federal law, will be prosecuted.
I want to make something perfectly clear before we go to our break. I want to make a point before I go to our guest tonight, Max Egan, in the first hour. When a culture experiences a traumatic event, there are so many micro events happening, part conscious and part unconscious. The collective then creates a matrix of agreements, runs many different narratives, and then we begin to see things that give us ideas as to what the tragedy was, how it took place, why it took place. You have to agree with me. From the very beginning, the Sandy Hook incident lacked a matrix. It was just said by that Lieutenant Paul Vance not to have a matrix to start. There was no complete narrative and a reason for why it all happened. Even anything we thought we saw in the narrative seemed unreal. And this is why I believe that many people think that what happened was staged or even a hoax. Media outlets first reported a number of things and then changed it. And then the dialogue became one-sided. In the history of anything that I've covered, being a newsman myself, I have never seen an event that has been so one-sided in all my life, which means that if we have only one side to the story, this is not a story. This is a campaign. Keep that in mind. You can call it a hoax if you wish, but that would mean that maybe the children didn't die, but we know they did. That some of the families were actors, maybe some of them were, maybe some of them weren't, because in a campaign you do hire people that simulate certain things. We may not know all the suspects, we may not know all the truths, we may not know everything, and that's because it was meant to be that way, because Lieutenant Paul Vance made it that way. The media kept it all one-sided, there was no competing dialogues, no duality, an absence of duality, which, by definition, makes Sandy Hook a campaign. Coming up on this program, Max Egan will be with us of thecrowhouse.com, and he will be online with us from Australia. We're very glad to have him on the program to talk more about Sandy Hook from the outside looking in. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero. I just want to kick things off once again by reiterating that I know that the victims of Sandy Hook are real. Many people have shown that they have a lot of remorse and they feel angry and they're saddened, and the event happened, but how did it happen? Well, the Sandy Hook shooting, we know there are real victims, we know there's real tragedy, but does it have a factual narrative? The answer is no, it does not. And I can tell you that with all sincerity. It does not have a factual narrative. This is not theory, this is not conspiracy. It is obviously a tragedy that's been exploited and staged for an agenda. It is a campaign. And this is the truth that is not being spoken, that the shootings at Sandy Hook were nothing more than a campaign. A campaign means that it was presented with one side. There weren't dueling narratives. There was no dualism. There was nothing to counter what was being said by the media. Nothing. Just recently, we have found that Mark Mattioli, son of one of the sons has come forward now saying that civility is the answer, not gun control, which we were wondering when anyone was going to come forward and say that, who was a father or a parent of the kids, because we do know that during the situation at Columbine, there were parents that said shooting someone is not getting gun control is not the answer. There was another woman, Layla Bush was her name, who was shot with the Jewish Federation shooting in Seattle, who said that she's paralyzed. She said, I don't think that we need to have gun control either. And I was thinking, where is the competing debate? And I know damn good and well that if Mark Mattioli says what he's saying right now with testimony, he's not going to show up on Piers Morgan. They're not going to be interviewing him because the dialogue does not fit the agenda. Max Egan of thecrowhouse.com is my guest tonight on Ground Zero, known for his radio shows and video presentations and his research in government corruption and ancient history. He's also working on a book right now. He's calling us, or he's in tonight from Australia. Are you there, Max?
I certainly am. Nice to be on the show, Claude.
It's good to have you here. You know, from the outside looking in, I guess from the look from down under, what are you seeing in the United States with regard to Sandy Hook?
Well, it looks like a hostile takeover. It looks like a coup d'etat, and it looks like a very, very well-played event. I mean, some of the stuff that I'm seeing in there in regard to it being a conspiracy theory, I think there's been bait that's been put there to make it look like a conspiracy theory, to bait all the so-called truth movement. I mean, whether there was a conspiracy involved or not, whether the children died or not, all of the things that people are saying, whether it was actors or not, ultimately to me, from here, that's irrelevant. What I'm looking at is how it's being played on the global stage and what it's heading to. And I think there's a certain amount of stuff in there. Like, they've put, like, there's footage of Gene Rosen that was posted online of him, what appears to be rehearsing his lines. There's things like Facebook pages that were uploaded and wrong dates and dates changed and predated and videos that were uploaded and timestamps changed and all sorts of things. There's been even the last drawing of one of the children they hold up happened to be an owl. So all the people who research Bohemian Grove and go, aha, an owl, you know. So they've put all of this stuff there to bait the truth of movement. And they can also say, well, who is this mad killer, this Adam Lanza? Wasn't his mama, she was a prepper. Why was she a prepper? Oh, she was a conspiracy theorist. She's into all this weird stuff that all these people are into. So what they're doing here is they're using, from my point of view, what they're doing is they're dangling the Second Amendment and a challenge against the Second Amendment in front of people's noses. They're setting it up so all the truthers and conspiracy theorists look like the enemy, and they're pushing for conflict because they're never really going to get the American people to give up their guns unless they can push a little bit and make it get a little bit violent, make it look like it's necessary. We've got to, because there's crazy conspiracy theorists in the street with guns that shoot children.
See, and that's what I mean in the beginning when I was talking about the what is known as the lack of dualism or objectivity. All questioning and all competing narratives are now conspiracy theories. In a real healthy story that's not a campaign, in a real healthy story, all things that are reported have dueling narratives, which means that on one side you have a group of people saying, well, I saw this happen, I saw that happen, and you have another group of people saying, I saw this and I saw that happen, but you don't have it here. What you have is you have a story that at first was stifled or gagged by Lieutenant Paul Vance when he said what he said. He said, we are going to issue all the information. Then they turned around and they said, we're not going to issue any information. We're not even going to give a timeline to this, which made the, as you said, the conspiracy theorists or the dueling narratives go absolutely crazy going, well, how the hell are we going to report anything if we can't say anything with fear of reprisal? Then the First Amendment gets trampled on. The Second Amendment gets trampled on, and you're right. All of this leads you to a frustration that creates turmoil. You have a campaign where no one questions it, and immediately you find yourself on the insensitive end of it all, the sick, the wrong. I remember that I posted some things on my Facebook tonight saying I'm going to have a fair and honest view, and I'm going to reveal things that even the conspiracy theorists are wrong about. And you wouldn't believe how much hatred I got. It happened. We saw caskets, this, and I can't believe this. You can't have a dialogue because immediately the campaign stifled that dialogue.
Well, absolutely. It's designed to do that. And all of these people, it's infighting. People, they want the infighting. They want you to be debating about all these points and pointing the finger at everyone and trying to identify what happened. And we're never going to know because we haven't been given enough information to know unless we were there. Anyone right. claims to know, well, they can't unless they were there. They wouldn't possibly know because we don't have the information. So all this infighting starts, and no one's stepping back and looking at the bigger picture. And not only that, but it's been designed so that anybody who questions this official one-sided narrative, well, you must be a conspiracy theorist, and that's what these people who just killed all these children were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they've vilified the enemy. They're making a grab for the guns. They're already setting up who the next enemy is in the battle. So people have to be very, very careful how they play this.
I totally agree. In fact, one of the things that I had mentioned in an article that I published today was that the problem here, too, is that we pick and choose who we blame And in the blaming, witch hunts start. So not only are we going after the gun owners, but we're going after the mentally ill, and we're going after any of those people who take psychotropic drugs, even if they're taking the drugs to help them, that help them keep their sanity or help to keep them from going crazy. These are the things that, you know, people need to remember, that some people really need these drugs. And even though Big Pharma is over-medicating, which is granted, we need to take things into perspective and say not all things are an over-medication. Not all things are as complex as we think. Some things are simple. Some things are complex. But in the process, we can't have the one side, the heavy-laden side that this whole story is, because if you do and you don't have comparative, you don't have comparing narratives or a dualistic nature or approach to the story, we have a campaign. We have, as you say, a coup d'etat, either governmental or even with information, it's a coup d'etat.
Well, yeah, look, this has been really, really cleverly played. You can look at Obamacare as well. I mean, you go into a doctor in America if your mother died and they'll just prescribe you a drug straight away. I mean, for any emotion that you feel, they've got a mental disorder for you and a drug they can prescribe for it. So now they set up Obamacare. They want to merge that with the Department of Homeland Security. So now they can say, well, look, all these people that are doing these crimes, they're on all these drugs. So obviously everybody who's on this record here has been prescribed these drugs. These are now a danger. You know, so they combine all the systems together. That's why you can see how well this has been set up and what a pivotal event it actually is.
It is pivotal.
The chances of this being just a chance event are minuscule because it fits so well on the global stage. I think it's the most pivotal event we've seen in America since the 9/11 attacks.
I really agree with you.
Oh, yeah, the political value and the globalist value of this event is unprecedented. It really is. And they've been setting up for it. They've been setting up Obamacare, setting up all this stuff and getting it in place right for this event. This is what all the FEMA camps are about. This is why they gave all those hollow points to the police. This is why they've got the drones, the microwave weapons. This is why they've got everything set up. They've militarized the police right in front of everybody. Now they're doing helicopter drills in Miami. I'm just practicing, folks.
Let's talk about that coming up out of the break. Max Egan, my guest tonight on Ground Zero, thecrowhouse.com. He's going to talk about the truth. They're actually doing drills in Miami using real blanks and scaring people, firing on them. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero. 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
Somewhat of a concern, and that is misinformation is being posted on social media sites. One thing that's becoming somewhat of a concern, and that is misinformation is being posted on social media sites.
I've never had more than three shells in the clip. Sometimes you don't get more than one shot anyway, dear. You know, just common sense. It's time. Sit down and have a common sense discussion and move in a reasonable way. And I think that everyone, I said the Second Amendment, the Second Promise.
That we want to make sure that's perfectly clear that social media websites that contain information relative to this case are not being posted by the Connecticut State Police, are not being posted by the Newtown Police, are not being posted by any authorities in this case. So any of that information and people that are putting that information up there in any manner, right, that can be construed as a violation of state or federal law, will be prosecuted, will be investigated and prosecuted.
You all saw him. He had a gun.
I could try to explain it, but I'm sure I would fail. There's no words that I could come up with that would even come close to describing the sheer terror of hearing that your son is in a place or your child is in a place where there's been violence. You don't know the details of that violence. You don't know the condition of your child. And you can't do anything to immediately help them or protect them. That is a powerless and terrifying experience.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and you're listening to Ground Zero, a special look at the Sandy Hook case. As I said before, we waited until the dust had settled and it was less expedient for the networks to be going after those who question or at least bring up ideas that are contrary. I think now we're seeing a time where the competing narratives will rise up as the media is slowed down, because now we'll have a chance to speak. They virtually bullied the dialogue. They virtually monopolized the information from, in fact, CNN was one of the worst, one of the worst offenders to this, especially with people like Piers Morgan and Anderson Cooper attacking the, quote, conspiracy theorists. But as Max Egan, my guest, has said tonight from the crowhouse.com in Australia, he says that this was set up for the very reason that that's transpiring, and that is turmoil in the United States. And Max, you were commenting, and before we had to go to the break, you were actually commenting about something that just broke yesterday, and that is a number of people frightened in Miami because of what's going on down there. What's happening?
Well, there's Black Hawk helicopters shooting blanks, flying over the town, doing drills. They say, oh, it's just practice, folks. We're just practicing, nothing to be afraid of. But what are they practicing for? Well, they're practicing flying Black Hawks over Miami, shooting people. That's their practicing. Doesn't this tell you something? I mean, why are they doing that? You know, so I think this whole thing's been set up to create conflict. The whole thing is they're pushing the people. That's why all of the clues of conspiracy have been left there in such plain sight. All these sites appearing and disappearing, little bits of video footage here that people get, you know, just in a complete fluster over. There's been all sorts of things there to create instability and create this huge apprehension in the community. And the Second Amendment, I believe, is just a carrot. Because there's so many people, when they hear this, their response is to buy lots of guns, buy lots of ammo, and hunker down and wait for the big battle when the Department of Homeland Security comes to their door. And that's not going to solve anything. You know, there's still peaceful ways through this. If you can see what's going on, the way this is being played, there's still peaceful ways through it. But I think the people of the United States have to get that spirit of America back into their hearts, the spirit that founded their country. They've got to see what's going on here, because they're being played. They're absolutely being played with this event.
It's the partisanship factor. It's like people will not – and here's the thing. If you question the narrative, as I said, because there are no dueling narratives, there's no dualism. If you question the narrative, you immediately become a conservative or a conspiracy theorist, because the whole campaign of Sandy Hook is a pro-Obama and Feinstein attack on gun rights. And then from there, you see all of these, like, for example, you look at all of the stories that have played out, the ones where you see, for example, you see the one guy who looks like he's faking it going through the story, he's laughing, and then all of a sudden he starts pretending like he's crying. You see another story where, Katie Couric had interviewed Daniel Barden. Daniel Barden's father, and Daniel Barden's father had said, well, I was hoping that when we talked to Barack Obama, that, he said his 10-year-old daughter Natalie wanted to ask Obama. And this is what he said. He said, well, Natalie was interested in asking him if he could pass some legislation so that the only people that had guns were military personnel and law enforcement. And if people needed guns for sport, they could go to a range and the guns could have to stay there. That was my 10-year-old daughter that said that. He said that right after that. My 10-year-old daughter was saying that kind of rhetoric that would belong in a legislative debate, but instead a 10-year-old girl is saying to her father, I think that the only people that should have guns are military personnel and law enforcement.
Yeah, as if a 10-year-old kid is going to say that. I mean, this is such a setup. You can see how well it's being played. And
right.
Like I said, the people have just got to see what's going on here. It's a coup. It's a coup d'etat. They're changing the game. You know, and it's important that they disarm the American people, but the easiest way for them to disarm them is through conflict, because they'll never give up their guns peacefully. They'll challenge it. They'll have legal challenges. There'll be all sorts of stuff. There'll be states challenging it. There'll be papers. There'll be articles of impeachment. There'll be all sorts of things that happen. But if they can bait the conspiracy movement enough, because, I mean, I've got to admit, there's a lot of people that might be a little bit unhinged in the conspiracy movement that might just start pulling out guns and shooting people. And we have certain alternate radio hosts that kind of recommend that. They get very, very angry and wave guns around and say, that's the answer, hunker down and buy ammo. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to see how this is being played. And I think that's what they want, because that's the easiest way they can lock down the country, is if the country starts a civil war against the government.
Well, and you're right. I think that a lot of what you're saying is so true, because it is hard Because I've been at this now for about 17 years, and I've been analyzing certain conspiracy theories and paranormal activity and things of that nature and talk about them openly on my show. I'm not the type of person that's going to crusade for a theory that has no proof. And when you're taking from the get-go a story where the mainstream media and police accounts have no objectivity, no duality, every incident there are many sides to a story, but right here there aren't, and either you have conspiracy theory or not. And some of the conspiracy theories, like, for example, one of the things that really ticked me off was I kept getting letters from people telling me, so what's the deal about Adam Lanza's father going to testify in the Lieber scandal? He wasn't going to testify in the Lieber scandal. That's all a bunch of nonsense. It was hokum. And yet some guy just all of a sudden put two and two together saying he was going to testify in the Lieber scandal. And I said, but, you know, what about the idea that this guy is a GE lawyer? He works for General Electric as a chief financial. He reported directly to the chief financial officers of GE. He was part of their structuring, negotiating, asset acquisitions, dispositions. He also filed their, or sorry, he didn't file their taxes. So being a partner with GE Corporate Tax meant that he was actually lying about the $14.2 billion or $5.1 billion that went to the American operations of GE. That's his scandal. It's not Lieber at all. The scandal is that this guy was a liar about the taxes of General Electric, yet that was completely overlooked because conspiracy theorists were so hooked on the idea of putting Lieber together with James Holmes' father with Aurora. And it didn't make any sense. And I wanted to say this. I didn't say this, but now I am saying it with you in the room. I can say this. It was not that way. Lieber was never connected to Adam Lanza's father. I think with a little research, you could find that out.
Oh, absolutely. Look, someone sent me a text about the Lieber legal scandal. While I was actually on the air, I think I was on air with Mel Fabregas from Veritas, and I was talking to him, and someone texted to me, and I mentioned it. I said, now it looks like he was also involved in Lieber. So I actually mentioned it on air. I kicked myself afterwards because as soon as I got off air, I researched it and found out it came from a source known as Saoirse File. And Saoirse File is a well-known disinformation source. And they put this out there to muddy all the stuff that you just talked about, to muddy all that GE stuff. You know, you put that out there. That's the way COINTEL works. They get real information. They embellish it to the point of it being ridiculous. So there's always a sliver of truth in there somewhere. But they just make it unbelievable and send you down a completely wrong direction. And it discredits everything else. And then people throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yes, they do. And I remember when Saoirse File first put out that commentary about James Holmes' father, after doing some investigating, you found that he had software that could reveal the corruption of the guys who were involved in Lieber, but he wasn't going to testify either. There was no proof of the testifying, and yet it was spread around that he was going to. There is James Holmes' father and Adam Lanza's father are not testifying for Lieber. Let's go on the record as saying that, because they're not going to. That was COINTELPRO. It was there to distract from the tax scandal, and there are many lies that are propagated by COINTELPRO groups to discredit anyone who believes them or continues to report them without fact-checking. And that's why you need a dose of reality, not only to expose the mainstream narrative as disinformation, but also the half-truths that are created by these so-called... And you know what's odd is that most of these conspiracy theory sites or these theorists came from out of nowhere, and I never heard anything of them. I mean, I know who Mel Fabregas is. I know who you are. I know who Alex Jones is. But some other guy who had a name that sounded like some magician named, like, Fabregini or whatever, said, well, they were all together. Take my video and spread it around. Spread it around. I'm thinking, no, I'm not going to. You're a liar. And this is all disinformation. Max Egan, my guest tonight on Ground Zero, thecrowhouse.com, an amazing guest tonight as we're trying to reveal some of the truths about Sandy Hook and how we cannot say that Sandy Hook is a story, it is a campaign. Why? Because there were not good enough what are known as competing dialogues that were showing any kind of proof. So we have to admit, and as Max says, that this is just a way to get people angry. That's what this was all about. That was what it is from the get-go, a campaign to create the civil unrest and the ideas of not being on common ground, causing a division, and we're going to reveal tonight everything about Sandy Hook that we see, and it's going to be a different view. We'll be back. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
What was it like spending time with President Obama? Was that helpful for you all?
To be honest, it was a little less fruitful than we were hoping. James and our daughter, Natalie, had a few things that they were hoping to express to him out of concern for the way this, the fact that this situation happened at all, and how we can maybe hopefully stop this from happening again. My daughter Natalie was interested in asking him if he could pass some kind of legislation so that the only people that had guns were military personnel and law enforcement, and if people needed guns for sport, that they could go to a range and the guns would have to stay there. That was my 10-year-old daughter.
I'm glad he was able to clarify that. That was his 10-year-old daughter saying that and not him saying that. I mean, Max, what did you think of that? I found the comment, and it chills me to think that, a 10-year-old would say that. I don't think a 10-year-old would say that. I think that's a father saying that. I think that's the father pushing his politics and once again showing that this is no longer a story but a campaign.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if it's the father pushing the politics. It sounds so scripted. It almost sounds like he felt uneasy saying it, that he knew that he was telling a lie, that he'd been told to say that.
And yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, this thing, like I said, it really has been very, very well scripted. And unfortunately, the conspiracy or the alternate media is going for hook, line, and sinker rather than stepping back and looking at how it's being played and addressing the actual problem. And nitpicking over details that we will never ever know is not the way to get through any of these events. You know, you have to really step back and see how they're being played. And like I said, this is a very, very delicate time, and it is being so set up to be one-sided to take the guns, and anybody who disagrees with this must be a crazy, and it was these type of people who went and killed all these children. So these are the new enemy of the country. These are the domestic enemies that have embedded themselves in our country. We have all these FEMA camps, we have all these hollow points, we have the means to put them all away, and we're going to do it to keep you safe. And that's the way it's being played. So that's what will happen if it erupts into conflict. I really believe that's the way they'll play it. And so people have got to start showing some unity, and they've really got to start showing some responsibility when dealing with this case and not go jumping to wild conclusions, because we just don't know what happened because nobody has been given enough information. We can look at footage, we can step back, we can listen to radio chatter, we can do all we want, and we can formulate any conspiracy theory we like, but we don't know. And that's the important thing. What do we know? All we know is how it's being played, because that's visible if people will step back and look at it.
I totally agree with you, and that was the whole point of the show tonight was, I guess I can be the odd man out and say that while speculation is, three-fourths of what conspiracy theory is, a quarter of it may be true, and I tell people, theory is theory, fact is fact. And when you have things in front of you, you can make your own decisions based on what you see. And the problem is that we had a mainstream media that immediately maligned those who dwelt in the margins, saying, well, they believe that it was all staged, that it was all a hoax, that nobody died. And then what they do, and I've been on shows like Penn and Teller's BS and all these other shows, where what they do is if a person makes a statement saying, I don't necessarily believe but what went on at Sandy Hook is what we're hearing. How can you say that? Here's a fireman that lost 15 guys in 9/11, and you're saying this. He should know. And just like tonight, I posted something on my Facebook page, and the guy said, I was there. I knew people. I have friends. I went to three wakes, and I saw an open casket. It happened. And I didn't even say in my article or on this show tonight that children were not killed. I have not said that all of this I call it Sandy Hoax because that is what they're calling it. Most conspiracy theorists are saying, well, it's a big hoax. That means that everything can be discredited. Well, what we can do is we can discredit all information because all the information from the beginning was screwed up by the media. And then after that, the media tried to tell you, well, we're the guardians of all that is right. We gave you all the conflicting reports. We made it all up as we went. And then we're turning around and saying, well, geez, we can't get anything right. But we know what to do, and that is play on the emotions of the American people. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And the important thing is to look at the bait that's been laid as well for the conspiracy movement. There's been things that have been placed there specifically to fuel this debate and to fuel the conspiracy movement to vilify these people. It's been very, very well played. People say, oh, this is the sloppiest event ever. Look at all this stuff everywhere. Look at these, Gene Rosen's audition tape, and look at these Facebook pages, and look at Adam Lanza's death certificate dated on the 13th instead of the 14th, and all this sort of stuff. Yeah, all this stuff's been put there. It's been put there to fuel the fire. That's what I believe. And so people just got to step back and look at it and be responsible with what they're reporting.
Yeah, that just came down today. I went into the SSDI and I typed in Adam Lanza's name, and I was shocked that all came through. That They do say that he died on the 13th and not the 14th. And they said, it says proven, too. It says, you know how when a person's dead, they pronounce them dead, and they say proven death? It says proven as well in the postscript that says, this death is proven death, December 13th, 2012. And I'm thinking, you're right. Why would they place that? Why is that there? And maybe they're blatantly, like you say, baiting these people to do this. I mean, you have to report it if it's there and you see it and you say, wow, what is really happening? And I think that's it. They want the dueling narrative to look like idiocy.
Absolutely. I mean, I doubt very much whether Adam Lanza was the shooter. I mean, I doubt the shooters they name in all these events. I mean, he's an autistic kid that would have been carrying as much ammo as what he weighed, letting off 100 rounds in an enclosed area. I mean, this is crazy that someone could even do that. So I don't even question that. I mean, there's no doubt that he wasn't the shooter.
No, nope,
but all these things, like I say, we can't discover who it is. People will say, well, if he wasn't the shooter, who was? It's like when they talk about 9/11, they say, well, if 19 Arabs didn't do it, then who did? We go, well, I know who did. That's why we need a new investigation. That's the point.
Exactly. You know? Hey, what do you got coming? I got a new book. What's it called before we go? I got about 20 seconds before we shut down. What do you got for us?
Well, it's going to be Earth's Forbidden Secrets Part 2 if I can ever get it done. But I've got some huge projects on this year, like a full circle project that's going to be a global tour and a global workshop and hopefully some motivation of communities around the world. That's what I'm sort of focusing on this year.
TheCrowHouse.com is a place to go. Stay safe. I know the weather's been bad in Australia. Max Egan, thank you so much for being on the program tonight.
My pleasure, Claude.
Have a great night. Take care. And Max Egan, of course, of thecrowhouse.com. Be sure to go to his website and check out all that he writes. Great stuff from him. We were so happy to have him on in the first hour of this program. And coming up, Professor James Tracy of thememoryholeblog.com. Controversial guest coming up in the next hour right here on Ground Zero. Don't go away.